Market Music with Fairbairn and Russell.
Okay, right, good. Okay, welcome to the Market Musings podcast, and we're pleased to welcome back Doc Holliday early in 2021. How are you, Doc?
Sick as a cunt. Good to be back.
Oh dear, it's going to be one of these podcasts. How are we, Doc?
Don't ask him
like
again.
I say, extremely unhappy. Thanks to Computershare Canada. So for any of you listeners that are having any dealings with Computershare, they will not transfer shares from one company to another, even though it's the same company. So I'm now searching for a DRS request, which I asked for 2 years ago, so I can capitalise on a wonderful move in a Canadian company. But there we are. It's off my chest. Great to be back, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yep.
Did you have a good Christmas and New Year?
Fabulous. Had a great time, Kenny, as you know.
Good stuff. Yeah. No. It's good to get back in the groove and get these podcasts going again. But one thing we forgot to do, but I done it because I'm organised and I'm a bit more on the ball. So I entered the stock picking challenge in Stockpedia for 2021, and I picked my five stocks. But I don't think you get round to it, Doc. And Mark, I don't know if you get round to it either.
No, I didn't get round to it. I remember you asking about it, and we were going to mention them in the podcast, which I'm sure we can do today, but I didn't actually submit it. I wasn't actually aware of how or even to do it, but I hear you're doing quite well.
Yeah. So I'll just rattle off my stocks. So for those that don't know about the Stockpedia Stock Picking Challenge, it runs every year. Bizarrely enough, there we go. And the top prize is a trip.
Which is why it's called the Annual Stock Picking Challenge, Kenny.
It's going to be one of these days. Anyway, cut a long story short, you pick five stocks, you're not allowed to change them, and you take it from there. So I think last year I finished 37th out of 2,200. And at the moment, I think I'm hovering about the top 100 out of 3,300. So I'm doing not too bad. So stocks I've picked. Arco Resources, market cap's pretty low, got a nice zinc lead deposit, waiting on drill results, couple of early stage gold projects, interesting, it's up about 40% in the year. One of your favourite stock, I took Nostra Terra Oil and Gas, NTOG, again, small market cap, looks like it's cash generative. I can't even say that. It's
cash generative.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark. So that's up 56% in the year. I took Red Rock Resources, which is an old favourite of mine, multiple projects that the market doesn't really give a toss about, but eventually value will out. Took Coincilium, which is a bit of a dark horse. I've just got a funny feeling that Coincilium's going to eventually turn the corner and start the motor with this fair wind that crypto is giving it. And then I went for another dark horse called Valura Energy, which is basically a gas company in Turkey, or base, but it's projects in Turkey that I've got.
Well, Valura is getting a fair bit of interest. I see quite a number of sophisticated investors as well. Not to suggest you're unsophisticated. That lineup of stock sounded a little bit like the iMonger, you know, any old iron. It's all a bit like that, isn't it? You know, those companies, 6 months ago, 12 months ago, nobody would have wanted to touch them. Absolute donkeys. But they're performing well. Why markets have turned around. There's a lot of interest in this space right now. Red Rock have moved into a different area, which has meant that there's some recognition for their interests in Victoria. Very low valuation. Big argument that the Kenyan stuff and the gold stuff there is still totally discounted. So I can get the stocks, you know, the situation there. Nostra Terra, very easy. 2 million market cap with plenty of cash and institutions coming on the register. They've already suggested in the last RNS that it's for potential opportunities. So, you know, most people don't understand that companies cannot disclose anything. You know, through subliminal messaging until you know, you've announced it officially to the market. But what you can use, best you can, is words like that. So I think, you know, I can get Nostra Terra. But yeah, you know, not a bad little lineup. But like I say, a few years ago, or certainly, you know, a year or so back, If somebody had said Arkle Resources, Nostra Terra, and Coincilium, they'd have been laughing at you.
Yeah,
just goes to show that shit can fly, my friends, and we're seeing it right now.
Yeah, no, there's no point in going for the usual suspects in these competitions. You want to pick something like, something that's it's got blue sky potential, you know. So I think each of these companies in their own right has blue sky potential, and you only really need one of them to do an absolute, 10, 20 bagger to absolutely, fire yourself up that leaderboard. But since you two guys never entered it, what would have been your five stocks? And I'll write them down, okay. And I'll still remind you at the end.
Then
of
you'll
the
keep
year
a list. Okay, yeah.
How good. Far ahead of you I am.
Well, I'll take mine if you want. So I went for Conroy Gold, CGNR. You ready, pen? Kenny, you got your pen?
Yes, yeah. Yep. I've just put Donkey Pick. No, I'm only kidding.
Donkey Pick.
I like Conroy myself, yeah.
No, Conroy, yeah. I think it actually started the year very well. And let's see if they can get this joint venture over the line. That's really the catalyst for that company. But if they can, I think that could do very well. And finally, hopefully, they can start progressing with the gold there. And that would make Richard Conroy very, very happy in his years of exploring and finding what he's got there. All the core they've got in their shed might become translate into.
After years of stealing a living, the man will finally get some recognition for his hard work.
One,
and why the hell not?
Yeah, exactly. That's my theory. Anyway, that's my theory. So let's see. Hopefully, fairly soon, we will hear from them. I think it's almost done. Okay, next one. Power Metal Resources. I like Power because I like Paul Johnson as a CEO. Yeah, I think he's very dynamic. I think he always has lots of news. They've got a lot of projects in the portfolio, and Paul's very good at constantly communicating to market, and that's something that many CEOs don't have. There's always a little audio message at the end of after each RNS goes out, and he's always keen to come on and do an interview with various people and spread the word far and wide. And for what I know about Paul, he does work very hard. So I think Power Metal Resources is definitely one for me this year. Let's see
when he sets his mind to something, he gets it done, and he's got six kids to show for that as well.
Yeah, six. So yeah, exactly.
One thing you can't say is that man knows how to keep his pecker up, and no doubt he's a hard-working fellow.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Definitely. So, and yeah, all the projects there, just so many. Okay, now sticking with the resources, but my last one in the resource and exploration space is Panther Metals. So again, similar reasons. Really, I like Darren Hazelwood. Very good communicating. Also, a very honest and hardworking CEO. I like what they have in Canada in the Hemlo area. There, I think that could do very well for them. But also, more exciting, what they picked up in Australia in the Laverton area. Still very early stage. You'd see some more stuff coming from there from the company. But what a fantastic place to be out exploring. And I buy into Darren really as a CEO, and he's cheap as well. Still, in my opinion, it's still pretty low market cap.
Darren's nickname is Big Daddy. That's what we call him in the Market Musings podcast, Doc. I can't actually remember why, but it came up in the last podcast we done with Darren. And
nothing to do with a brief encounter in your annals, was it?
No, it's to do with the fighting, wasn't it, Kenny or something?
Yeah, we started talking about World of Wrestling. And,
all right, okay.
I think he referred to me as Giant Haystacks or something, and I said, no, you're Big Daddy, so that kind of stuck with him, so... Sorry for stealing your flow map. Continue.
No, it's fine. So you've got those three down, Conroy, Powell and Palm. Okay, so then I want to move away from the resource and exploration space because it's too obvious, really. So I've picked a sector that I think will do very well next year. Well, maybe, let's say this year. That's why I've picked them. But certainly in the future, and that's the esports space. There's lots of... interest coming around that at the moment. It's just beginning to take off, really. It's getting big. So I picked two companies, that's Blue Star Capital, and they're an investment company, really, in early stage ventures like esports, but also they've got some sort of crypto blockchain startups as well. But really, I think their focus is going to be on the esports space. And Derek Liu, again, really dynamics chairman, isn't he, of Blue Star Capital, who we've spoken to a few times, and he...
Yeah, And he likes a beer before lunchtime.
He comes on the podcast. He explains what's going on with the company and the esports space. Very articulate in explaining what's going on. Also very
enthusiastic. That guy deserves to get a straight nine before we even think about any performance or having to prove his worth. He's a 9 out of 10 before he even does a thing. He's just become the executive. He's heading up that company now. Didn't we see a recent change in the management team? And he's in pole position and he's on the lag before midday. I mean, that's a 9 out of 10 all day. I'm thinking of putting money in just for that.
You should. so that's Blue Star. And then another one, Guild, which I'll be honest, I don't know a whole lot about. It was fairly it's new to the market, new IPO. Blue are a seed funder of Guild and I think that's the one, yes, that David Beckham is a little bit involved in as well. So, just a new one on the scene, because there's not actually many esports direct companies you can invest in. So that's why I went to those ones, because I think that space is going to generate a lot of interest and excitement and also a lot of value in the years to come. So there we are, Kenny, there's my five.
Okay, I have taken a note of them. Yep.
I've got to be honest. I think that's a tidy five. I mean, if you were sitting down with most of the general public and you whipped out Kenny's five to your five, Mark, I think people would say they were well thought out and should do very well. But one thing that we know, and Kenny's demonstrated numerous times, is these little things don't half have a go when they want to, and he seems to have a bit of a nose for them. So it's funny, isn't it? How sometimes you can really think out these situations and, you know, rationalize and apply lots of logic, and the market doesn't always give you
it's very true.
Doesn't always give you value for it. But I'll tell you what, I mean, again, two very interesting groups of selection. And you know, the esports one was a bit interesting, Mark, because you've selected Blue, who's got an investment in it, and then gone for the actual investment as well. So I mean, is that sort of, you want to try and get twice as much of the value out of it? You're that confident, or is it just one of those situations where you think Blue might go and do a few other things alongside it, and therefore you're looking for a bit of diversity as well?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, like I said, there's not a whole lot to invest in esports. So Blue was the obvious one first of all. And I thought, I want another esports one. So I mean, but yeah, Blue have got the power to obviously go and do different things, haven't they? Because they're investing in it rather than actually do it. So there's potentially more diversification by de-risking perhaps it by investing in Blue Star as opposed to Guild, but generally this is not that many listed entities out there in the esports space at the moment.
Yet,
but I think it will change.
And a bit like all good sort of sectors and spaces, I'm sure we'll see things grow there, as we will with some of these perhaps well-being companies and CBD and battery metals.
That's another good one, CBD. What's out there at the moment? Not a lot.
But there's, I think when I last spoke to somebody who spent a lot of time in 2019-20 going around and meeting lots of these companies that were backing up trying to get into the UK market, there was something like 40 companies, different companies, known companies, trying to get to the UK market. So I think if the door opens in that space, they'll come flooding in. And whether that's good, bad, or indifferent will remain to be seen. But lots of sort of different opportunities in the markets these days than when I started out. And it's exciting because it's that diversity that really, really sort of tweaks and triggers people's interest. So yeah, smashing. Good to see that there's such opportunity. And I know what you're going to say, Kenny, what are your five? And I've given it absolutely no thought. So I'll probably make a bit of a twat of myself, and I'm not making
It's going to cost you money, so I mean.
Oh, is it really? Yeah. Okay, we in for money on this, are we?
No, I think we should. The end of the year, the winner gets £100 from each of you. He also puts.
Well, listen, I'm all good for that. But are we starting with the prices today, or are you starting with your prices on the 1st of January?
1st of January, but wind your neck in. Don't pick something that's 10 bagged. I don't want Argo blockchain in there.
Listen, why don't we start from today? Because I think if there's great execution and stuff like that in your pick, then they should continue on anyway. if not, then it's going to be easy for somebody like me to go and pick companies that I've already been invested in and I've already had a big move, wouldn't it? And that wouldn't really be fair. So, I mean, how do you want to play it? I'm happy to pick some companies.
Just pick the companies. We'll do it for the beginning.
Mate, 100 quid. I'm competitive for 100 quid. I mean, I'm literally, I spent 2 days haggling over €200 on buying a new quad in Cyprus. So, I mean, 100 quid. I'm game. I want to try and find where the edge and advantage is. I'm not just playing for fun. We're playing to win.
Right, go for it there. Give me.
Okay. Look, I haven't given it much thought, but I can give you, I'm hoping, a bit of a selection and whether these are the five that go on and have monster moves. The rationale or just the theory behind markets might be helpful to some people. So I think I made a shout on Vast Resources. I think there's probably better opportunities, but we're talking about companies that we haven't each picked, and we're trying to think about not cheating and picking something that's 100% up. So I'm going to pick something that's actually bang on the bottom, in my view. Vast Resources is a company that I've been watching for many, many years. And whilst I spoke to Andrew Perelli a couple of years ago, it became apparent that that company needed something like $15 to $20 million to get the mine into production. So it was tough markets back then. He was doing these little raises to sort of just keep things ticking over and keep the sort of wheel spinning. But it was never enough to sort of draw a line in the sand and say, that's us financing, capitalizing, let's go. Last week, they disappointed the market. They'd got an agreement with a bank, or the market believed they'd got an agreement set up for them to offer some debt and support, etc. That got pulled. It got pulled because there needed to be some recapitalization and changes to some of the way that the company was structured, maybe cutting away some of the fat or some of the assets that perhaps the company have got that the bank believed were not of any great value, yet the company believed were hidden value. And they sort of said, look, you know, they've got to go because we're not giving you a banking facility for you to then go and spunk the money on rubbish assets. So I discounted that piece of news, and I look back from 2 years ago at why I didn't buy shares, what put me off being a shareholder, and it was the fact of how much cash it needed. And then I look at it today and I say, well, they're now into production. In the next couple of months, they'll be generating revenue, and they've got about 5 million or something like that on the balance sheet. So it's the best it's been from a finance position. It's the best it's been from a its requirement for its incessant need for capital to build the mine. The projections are that it'll be producing revenues in the next couple of months, and then it becomes a profitable operation. Now, whether the company then decides to go and keep raising money to develop things at a faster pace or to go and do other things, I guess remains to be seen. But I think on all-time lows, with a decent sort of amount of cash, I think it's worth a go. So a bit of a long-winded explanation, but I know there's going to be people sort of rolling their eyes, biting the lips and saying, you're fucking mad. And the answer to that is yes, we're mad. We're a bit mad, but you know, that's where the opportunities lie. And I can quite easily see Vast Resources doing 50 or 100% in a matter of days or weeks, because I think reality will start to hit certain personnel around the market. And then we'll go from there. Thinking about the opportunity in the metal space, you know, the gold type situation, I still think, whilst I would have been very, very sort of big on that ECR call, I think I'm going to go with Tripoli, because I think whilst ECR is a great little company, it's come a long way, and Victoria's prolific, and I think you're making a good call with Triple R. But for me, I'm gonna reluctantly go with Tripoli over ECR Minerals, and that's simply down to the fact that I think if gold's going to continue on this year to 2300 to 2500, and there's continued volatility and everything else, that company is not really got out of the blocks yet. So I'm gonna go with Tripoli for a gold play. And Chesterfield, I still think there's value in Chesterfield. I think whilst it's come a long, long way, and people look at the chart and say, God, I'm not buying that. I think the copper store is huge. The future demand for copper is huge. The fact that they've got polymetals in, I think, is super interesting. And, I like that company. I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts, Kenny? You think there's value in copper? Do you think there's value in Chesterfield? Am I mad to call it after it's gone up so much?
No, I did buy some today. It just seemed to.
Oh, really?
Yeah. it's obviously it's dipped from its high. And I mean, when you look at it, I mean, the market cap's not that high. What is it? Talk about 13, 14 million or something like that from memory. It's not.
Yeah, I think look, in the last day or two, I've seen the market cap under 13 million. Then I go and look at, you know, and with the greatest of respects, to look at things like Alba and Pau and UFO. And I see market caps like 20, 30, 40, 50, you know, and I've seen them as high as 100 million. And I think these things are still very early in the cycle. They haven't really got detailed programs under the belt. They don't have FTSE 100 companies behind them. Yet Chesterfield's sitting there languishing at 13 million quid. I mean, either some of these things are grossly overvalued or Chesterfield's grossly undervalued. So on that basis and that basis alone, I think it's a steaming opportunity. And it's got that exposure to copper. And I don't think we're going to get hell-raising assay results that say, you know, we've got a world-class discovery and let's get to a quid 50. But I do think you're going to start to get more sort of deeper, detailed understanding of the projects. And the fact that Polymetals are on board, the fact that they've got the drill in Cyprus and they've contracted the technical team to actually do the job and strengthen the technical team continually, I think that's a bigger indicator of where the company's going, isn't it? So, yeah, really like Chesterfield. Oh, I'm really dragging it out now.
I was going to ask you, but do you think it would benefit Chesterfield if they actually had another project on their books?
Quite possibly, and I don't think they're any strangers to looking at projects either. I think even Martin French had indicated a little while ago that he didn't want to be seen to be exclusive to Cyprus. We know that they've got a massive land package up in the north, Trudos, which has not really been developed. And you see companies like Ariane coming into the country. And there's a private company now who are hiring the rig from the rig company with. So it's going to be shared. So you see more development and more interest in Cyprus. So it wouldn't be a bad thing to see them perhaps go and venture somewhere else. And I think, you know, there's a really well-known Cypriot guy from around the city who's behind Keffi Minerals, isn't there? What's his name? Summer Adams. I can't think. Harry Adams. So I don't know. Maybe there's a situation where the famous Harry Adams, habitual non-performer, wants to do something and Chesterfield jump on that. I don't know. Just trying to link together people in certain areas and see where they go. But, you know, the one thing about French and Chesterfield is they've got management from Lundin. They've got UK people, UK-based directors who have got big relationships over in Canada, Australia. So again, I don't think there'd be any shortage of opportunity. But that, again, you know, it's one of those we have to wait and see, and we'll go from there. How many have I picked?
You've picked three.
I would have gone for Nostra. I still think there's good value in Nostra. I'm not necessarily sure it's going to be the best performer of the year, but I would have had that early on. So you've jumped that one. I'm struggling. I mean, I like Westmount Energy. I think that's at a point where if any of these drills that are taking place back to back with Exxon and Total come in, we might see Westmount following Eco Atlantic. But I don't know. I just don't feel when something's already at the top of the 52-week level, it's risky. EnQuest, I'm going to go with. So I've been talking about EnQuest on Friday. I think it was at a breakout point at sort of high 12s. The volume was very, very thin. So I think it traded 1.5 million, 2 million quid today. But it traded something daft like a couple of hundred grand. You couldn't buy in any size. I was having a tickle at it and just couldn't get it going. So EnQuest, 200 million market cap plus. Something that's considered a bit more sophisticated in the market than some of these rock and roll sex and violence picks. So mm-hmm. I'll go for EnQuest in that space. So we've got plenty of resources. I'm going to go for a quick run through the list and just pick one that jumps out at me. If that's...
I thought you would have went with Conduity. You mentioned that before.
Look, Conduity... We've seen a big move on Conduity. So what I'm careful of is Chesterfield's come a long way, and I've given that call Westmount, the reason I'm not going Westmount is because it's at that breakout point, Enquest. So a lot of these things that I'm talking about have already had a big move. And if the sector stays strong and the market stays buoyant, then all of these things, I think, are going to perform well within the environment they're in. But, you know, as soon as we start seeing people's knees getting taken out and a sharp reversal, it can get a bit tricky, you know. So I'm trying to think about, I'm trying to be conscious and mindful that these calls might be considered my top five. And they're actually not necessarily my top five. I'm just trying to get something that broadly fits. I'm going to go with Shearwater Group. It's a bit far out there. They're cybersecurity. Okay. Trading at about 156, which is just a little bit below where I bought these. I think Shearwater cybersecurity, I think it's something a little bit different. And I'm going to go with that one. And there, that concludes the draw for today. And we'll talk stocks.
Can I just say something, Doc?
Yes, mate.
Thank Christ we're only picking 10, because I would have been gone. I've been finished. The podcast has been done and dusted. But no, I appreciate you taking the time to explain your rationale for your five picks.
Can't do it any other way, I'm afraid. Yeah. It's just I'm like a fucking market trader. You know, I can't just take your money and go from there. I have to give you all the bullshit to go with it. So apologies once again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So 100 quid each.
Okay.
And a kitty. And the winner chooses what charity at the end of 2021. And Doc, if you want to spice things up between me and you, I've got a nice 5 ounce silver limited edition Concord coin that you really want off me.
I do want that.
Well,
coin,
actually,
yeah,
well, hang on. I'm going to get myself into a hole here. I'm a Concord fan as well.
All right.
What you're proposing?
I don't know, Doc. We can maybe talk about it in the next podcast.
We can.
That's an additional side bet, was Doc. So I've put.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
my. It sounds like we're concluding. I'm just getting warmed up. Is that us done?
No. What I mean is, you need to come back with something attractive.
All right.
So
So what you want me to do is offer something. What is this? I mean, you know, it's like one of these public lashing sessions. You know, it's like he's already in the top 30 of 2000 last year, in the top 100 of 3000 this year. It's almost like, you know, it's not only does he want to have the kudos for being the best picker, but then he wants even more. Take the 100 quid for charity and then beat me up. Ample time silver that he made me buy. I mean, he's, I said to him the other day, Mark, you know, he's like one of these drug dealers.
Hooked you on the product, yeah.
He's got me hooked on the product, and then now he wants to hustle and over everything, take it off me.
You had ample time with Pierre. It's just piss poor preparation, so it is, Doc. It's just not acceptable. Is this how you run your trading accounts?
Mate. Well, you've just heard what my trading accounts are like. You know, look at the Canadian scenario.
Right, we'll not get you wound up about that. Listen, this is going to sound completely left field, right? But before we go into stocks, and don't ask me why it came into my head, we should establish our porn names. Have you ever done that game before?
I've done the game, but it depends what you're asking. Is it your pet and then your mother's maiden name?
Your name of your first pet, Doc, and your mother's maiden name. And then that's
Benji.
Benji. That's quite a mouthful.
Well, if you were a porn star, it would be very fitting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I suppose. Mine is Rusty Patterson. So it is.
Okay.
Go on, Mark. Give us yours.
Austin K.
Austin K. Why would you call a pet bloody Austin? That's a ridiculous name.
Austin the guinea pig.
Austin the guinea pig.
Yeah, it wasn't even a cat or a dog. I mean, geez, it's guinea
Austin.
Pig.
Austin. Oh, dear. Okay.
So
I just wanted to get that off my chest.
Okay.
So basically what Kenny is doing now is he's going to be logging into everybody's fucking trading account with all of his pet names and mother's maiden names.
Yeah, just for clarity, none of my security passwords are my mother's maiden name.
No, but you know what? Actually, one of mine might be, you know, so you're going to have to take that out. I'm not joking either. Oh, fuck's sake, I'm going to make me change passwords now that I've had for 10 years, aren't you?
Yeah, we used to have Roman days at work as well, so you picked a Roman name and you used that name for the whole day. So I used to pick like Chappis Maximus and things like that, because obviously it was a big guy. No, just to break the boredom, and I know it sounds crazy, but when you're cooked up in a small office with no windows and there's four guys, you know, anything stupid to... sometimes.
Listen, Kenny, I've got my image of the big guy who goes down the bowling club, Chappis Maximus, with his dog, Austin fucking Patterson, and gets steaming on tenants or McEwan's or something. I mean, sounds rock and roll, that, man.
Anyway, listen, this early in the new year, I've got all the craziness out of my head now, so we've got a pawn name. So, Benji, what's happening in the stocks this year? What's happening so far?
Little Benji as well. There's only a very small Benji. I don't know. You know, I think there's a bit of, every time we see a bit of disinterest or wider uncertainty or whatever, everybody's quick to say that's it. You know, that's it. We're toppy. We need to call it a day. And what people really are overlooking. And I think the biggest sort of indicator for me is when you've got Batman walking through fucking tear gas at Capitol Hill and, you know, the White House has been stormed and all of this sort of stuff and the markets are rallying, then we know that something quite perverse is going on in the markets. But, you know, I find it quite revealing how few people have considered when a few weeks ago companies like RMS were trading £5 million a day, and it was sort of obscene volume in these little tiny cat companies going bonkers. The value of the growth and the money that starts to recycle back into the market. And I looked at Argo Blockchain one of the days last week. It traded £5 million in less than an hour, I think, and it finished the day trading £60 million. Now, if half the people in the markets are taking profits, having seen Argo go from 15, 20 pence to £1, 20, 30, wherever it got to. You know, you've got to start to picture how much money's coming out the markets. And if somebody's been prepared to speculate in the small cap sector, they're not just going to suddenly think, oh, we're going to put this into blue chips. They just don't. The big gamblers, the big money players now, and all of that's going to start drifting back into these small caps. It's good for the markets, and I think people have discounted a lot of these big moves that people have seen in lots of companies. It's created a lot of cash, and that cash is coming back into the sector that we're operating. So it works for me. I think there's a bit longer to go yet, but that's where I'm at.
Yeah, no, it was just I meant to bring up earlier on, going to come back to the stock competition. There was only 2,300 entries or something last year, and this year there's 3,300. It just shows you how many new people are in the market as well.
Yeah.
So as you said before, and I think all of us have talked about it, there's a lot of fresh blood, and a lot of them have probably made some easy money in the last 6, 7, 8 months. So yeah, there'll be plenty of gamblers out there prepared to take a punt.
These guys are prepared to buy anything. I mean, what people don't realise is, money was raised for Argo in a seed round at a penny. It was raised at 8p, 16p. I mean, this thing's 10 bagged from the IPO level. It's 20 bagged from the pre-IPO, which was a number of weeks before. And it's 100 plus for the seed guys, if any of them are still holding. I mean, there's just been too many of these things. You raise your mining, you know, Braveheart, Remote, might not be a fan, but the moves are still there. And there's just loads of these things. You know, Motive Bio, we talked about last year, had a massive move. Every time these companies have these colossal moves, it generates lots of cash, and that cash starts to get reinvested back in.
Yeah,
so it's good for the market.
Yeah, you think if Eurasia finally, or if it ever gets bought out, or whatever the greater plan for Eurasia is, there's going to be a hell of a lot of money sloshing about in the market, and it'll filter down. It'll filter all the way down to the bottom feeders, which is just good for everybody. So, no.
There's definitely money around, sloshing around, isn't there? And I agree with you, Doc, and it's not just that stuff that was going on in the United States, but you look at, like, COVID round two, and, you know, it's not, the market's not being spooked by it, you know? And it's just, you're having these, starting the year as we are, I think it'll continue for a bit longer yet, but there's definitely something to watch out for there.
Well, we've got a captive audience, Mark. People are sitting at the homes, supposedly working from home, but really spending most of the day looking at the markets. Netflix has lost its razzmatazz, and people are, you know, they're looking at sort of some of this, like Bitcoin stealing the show at the moment.
Yeah.
You're right. You know, we've got COVID from last year, all of the big COVID moves that took place there. Then you're dropping into the Argo blockchains. We know that people can't get, you can't buy Bitcoin on certain platforms now. You can't, certain banks won't accept the proceeds of funds from Bitcoin investments. HSBC come out and said, we're not going to accept it. So, you know, jumping onto something like jumping onto Argo seemingly been a bit of a trend. I think like all of these situations, some of these people are going to get carted out based on all of the froth. I think it's got to spread out a little bit more. When it starts to get condensed into one area, it gets dangerous.
Do you think it's going to be a crash though?
Yeah, I do at some point, but I don't think so. Look, when you say, are we going to see a crash? I don't think we're going to see
a major crash.
No, I actually think we're going to see a global event that does shake the world, and it shakes the world to its core. And that will, when we review it over a longer time horizon in years to come, will be just seen as a bit of a snapback and correction. But I do think that there'll be something that comes just to derail and bring people back into line. But, you know, what that is, again, I've got no idea. I'm just going based on history and being around these markets, and that's what generally happens. But, don't see it collapsing and, Armageddon, you know, like the apocalypse and, you know, some of the suggestions that we've heard from people in bygone months and years. But I think we're likely to see it snap back, and it might be a bit painful at the time. But long may it continue for the time being. I can see better times ahead in the small caps, that's for certain.
Yeah, absolutely. And are you in crypto at all, Doc, or not?
I interviewed John McAfee a couple of times. In fact,
really?
I interviewed him. Yeah, 3 or 4 times. So I was really fortunate that he called for me while I was outside the O2. I'd give him my number and I'd asked them to do it. I had a couple of back and forth and it all went quiet. And I was literally turning up to an investor event at the O2. And I was going to the hotel next to the O2 to book in because I was staying there. And the phone rings and it's him. Can we do it now? And I said, no. I didn't want to say no. I didn't know how to say no. And I said, look, if we can do it tomorrow, that'd be great. And I actually recorded it in the hotel room with a bit of kit that I had. And that was the first one. And then we had a number of them. I think it was probably 3 or 4 of them after that. And he's a fascinating character because he lived around with lots of chaos in his life. There was noise and dogs barking, and at the time, he had this big security team that he'd formed, all ex-Navy SEALs and SAS guys and all that. And it was just seemed to be uploading videos of them partying. They were trading crypto and getting drunk out of the mines and other narcotics, I would have expected, given the comments he made at the time. And I just thought, this fucking guy, he's like created the antivirus, McAfee antivirus. And then it's like a late 60s, early 70s guy living in madness. But honestly, Mark, he must have signaled to the people in the room when the interview started, and it went deadly quiet immediately. No dog bark, no noise, no chinking of glass and bottles or anything. And we did the interview, and it was really surreal the first time. After that, it was a bit different. It got easier. Mm. I found it a bit nerve-wracking the way it just... But yeah, I mean, he tried to give me the explanation of where the value would come. And he was big on things like Monero. He believed that if you wanted to trade in these currencies, there had to be ways where, you could protect yourself and you were completely insulated. Because what lots of people aren't aware of, when you buy crypto, you leave a footprint. And of course, it's through blockchain, etc. It's a history that can't be deleted. But also, it's a history that shows... you know, your ID. So if you've got a wallet ID and you're buying and things are going in and out of it, it's a history that lots of people didn't want. The idea of one of the big crazes in crypto was that people could move currency. You know, it was a borderless, boundaryless type currency. And when you started to move it, you didn't want to leave a trace. So Bitcoin didn't work for me anymore. You know, that's what they were saying. We need to find other things. And I think it was like some Monero that really he was keen on. So yeah, no, I'm not in the space. I tried to have a go at it, but yeah, failed miserably.
Well, good. Well done for getting him on. I mean, that's an achievement. That was been scary as well when he rang you.
Nick Leeson was my favourite. I mean, I've had some belters over the years. I've got David Buick when he retired from Panmure Gordon. And I love David. I've spoke to him numerous times. Fabulous bloke, wealth of experience. Always used to see him on the BBC when I was younger.
Yeah.
And then suddenly I'm interviewing him, and that was great.
Did you just reach out to these guys?
Variety of different things, really. Yeah. Introductions, you know, mutual friends, certain situations and scenarios. But as I say, Nick Leeson was the one for me. He was really down to earth, straight up guy.
Hmm.
And he even sent me one of the trading jackets that you see Ewan McGregor wearing in the film. He actually sent me one of them too. Fabulous bloke. Yep. And I think people will hear more from him. I think Nick has got some ideas. I think he finds it like lots of people who've been successful and, you know, found yourself in jail and been very unsuccessful. But I think for him, he can make a good living just kind of cutting his own cloth daily and doing his own thing. But somebody with that experience, even if it's just experience of looking down the barrel of the 8888 account and realizing that you've just bust a bank. I mean, shit, there's not many people that have lived that life and got that sort of, got the battle scars. And I think he's one of those people that could really, really still offer something. So yeah, one of me all-time favorites, that guy.
Yeah, just going back to the crypto, I actually made a crypto purchase, and I know I've spoken to you guys offline about it, and you probably think I'm off my head, but I bought some crypto stamps, which is apparently the next big thing. So I don't like to miss out on it. And so I just took the plunge. It's a £1,000 punt. If it goes tits up, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. But, you know, the first round of crypto stamps at the Austrian Post Office released, some of the rarer ones have been going for up to like £8,000. So it's just a punt. It's no different for me investing in a stock that could get suspended or could get, you know, consolidated down to or diluted to nothing. So yeah, taking a punt.
Well, listen,
in that.
Kenny, let's go back to some of the headlines we saw recently as Bitcoin, it's $40,000 a coin. You know, one of the first guys used, was it 10,000 Bitcoin to buy a pizza? So, you know, to go and put that into scale of magnitude, wasn't it something like 4.6 trillion or something daft like that, or 4.6 billion quid? You know, and that's the kind of thing that can happen. You can go and use something that's considered so so small and, you know, speculative that it takes 10,000 coins to buy a $20 pizza, and then you forward yourself 10 years on and it's 40,000 to buy one coin. I mean, it's just unbelievable, isn't it?
Actually, the option I was, for my earlier gambling career, I actually had the option one time to cash out of a casino in Bitcoin, and it was 100 and something Bitcoin. And at the time, I was like, what the hell is this? I just want money. How stupid was that? You know?
But you know, the thing that always got me, and this is the thing that I still can't quite comprehend, is you get these crypto Bitcoin sort of traders on Instagram and online, and you know, they've always got the gold Bentley in the background and the big story of how they're all, you know, making shitloads of cash. But what they do is they go and invest in that space, then they turn it back into pounds and dollars. And I don't get it. If the value is in non-fiat currency versus fiat currency, why is it when you see increased value in what you're doing, you want to then convert it back into something that's government controlled, central bank controlled finance? It's a total contradiction of what they're trying to achieve. And that's why I always used to look at it and think, this bullshit. Like, you know, you're talking shit. What you're doing is you want to jump this craze because it's an unregulated market, get the value up, and then you're going to turn it into pounds, dollars and pence just like the rest of us. You know, and that's why I could never get to grips with it. And it has been to my detriment too, Kenny, but I always found that very strange.
Yeah, a lot of people look at Floyd Mayweather. He likes to travel everywhere with like $100,000 in a case, doesn't he? He likes to take it everywhere.
So he's a dickhead, isn't he? That's why.
Everywhere he goes. So I guess some of these guys, they cash in their Bitcoin so they can have that, you know, that wad of $100 bills or whatever it is.
But the theory, if you follow these, you know, deep-rooted cryptocurrency traders, the argument of crypto being the future currency and how the world will grow around that, it defeats the object to go and turn it into a load of paper. It doesn't make any sense other than the fact that you want to be a dickhead showing off like Floyd Mayweather. But I think lots of people who are clever would probably make lots of money on Bitcoin and speculate on stamps or something like that, because if you can jump on the next big trend, you're going to make a gut full of more cash.
Yeah. No, I've had a few strange comments about it, but like I say, you know, I'm prepared if they turn into coasters, for want of a better term, because that's about the size of them, then so be it. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. It's just sometimes you've just got to take a risk and go against the herd, and nobody else I know is doing it. So sometimes you've got to say, right, well, I'm going to do it, you know.
Do you know what I found that was revealing also is that when the markets first started to get a bit choppy, or there was a bit of uncertainty and there was unrest and Brexit and all of these things before COVID really kicked off, that Bitcoin price, that crypto world did not hold up well at all. And it was everybody rushed back to the good old fashioned, you know, gold as a store of wealth and insulation to volatility. And that was quite revealing to me. I don't know how much of that you looked at or you followed yourself, but I found that to be quite revealing. And now you've seen the Bitcoin price go bangers when the worst's out the way, you know, because now we understand COVID better. Now we know that there's different strains, but we know that the world isn't going to end tomorrow, and we've got a better understanding of where we're going to be as a nation of people and stuff like that. That Brexit's not so scary. And I don't know. I find that to be strange how the sales pitch from these Bitcoin crypto guys is, you know, this is where you should be putting your money in times of trouble, because there's going to be huge dilution to currencies and stuff like that. You know, this is where you need to be storing your money. But it didn't shape up well. And it was this SEC investigated Ripple, and that lost 40% of its value. And it's like, listen, it's massive contradiction. If you've got a currency that is borderless, boundaryless, and non-fiat, it shouldn't matter what any government's doing. It should not affect the value of it. And I think cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and lots of these big major players now are controlled by the government. And I said it 2 years ago in an interview with McAfee that the interesting thing I found at that point was you could now start to trade CFD. You could buy fractions of Bitcoins and trade them on CFDs. And the only way that can happen is they need to, you know, because of the way the markets work, they need to be able to underwrite these trades. So it meant that the government control was creeping in.
So it's a bit like silver with the EFTs out there. There's, you know, the actual paper market for silver is like, I don't know, Mark, was it like 100 times the actual physical silver market?
It's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's as
if we need a big event where people start calling in their physical silver, because that's why we're seeing
Kenny's,
silver
Kenny's
going
waving
around
the,
gold.
Kenny's starting it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that Concord coin it was the big trigger for me. I saw that and I was like, oh, that's a bit sneaky, that. I mean, he started me with these shitty little bars and then suddenly pulls out a beautiful 5 ounce coin. Anyway, let's save that for next time. Yeah. Any interesting stocks? Anything interesting?
Mark?
Throw it onto me.
Put you on the spot.
Anything interesting? I
don't know. You're interviewing people frigging day and night, man. How can you not have anything of interest to say? Come on, spit it out, man.
Destiny Pharma, there we go. I've mentioned that before, and it's fully recruited for its phase 3 trials, which will be going ahead very soon. And it started the year quite well. And it's appointed. Oh, who did they appoint recently? Let me just remind myself very quickly.
Got an institutional register. Have they got institutions on board?
I don't know.
Worth having a look, because I think one of the things that companies do well when they go on really big moves is they tidy up and clean up registers. And we're seeing that with some of the little companies, like, you know, Dev Clever's done it recently. You know, you see people sort of, and I've been critical of that company, but you sort of say, how has that gone from sort of, it got all the way back from 10p down to 1 or 2 again, and now it's back at 15p. And what did they do? And I think they raised money with a decent bunch of investors. I know some people have got comments, and I've had some questionable remarks about some of them, the Chris Akerses of the world, etc. But it would appear that that little group has tidied up the register, removed the little guys, funded the company for the foreseeable, and then, you know...
Where do you look at the register, then?
When you're looking for major shareholders and stuff like that, what you want to see is, you want to see, you know, less free float. So most of these things that are chopping about and they're trading crazy up and down, you want to see a tighter shareholder register. And you can't always. I mean, you'll get things that when you look at the major shareholders, it's going to be Jim nominees and, you know, nominees. Yeah. And so you've got no idea. That's going to be, you know, retail money that's sitting there collectively holding 9%. But you want to start seeing, you know, a couple of med tech or pharma favorite institutions on the register. It's always a good sign that companies are.
Yeah.
If you look at all of them COVID stocks, I mean, they've all got institutions on registers. And actually, most of those sold out at what some would argue a bit far too cheap. But you need that just to tighten up the register a little bit, you see.
Yeah, sure. I need to check that out. I mean, so who these guys have appointed? It's a lady. She's a chief business officer. It's a new posting. Stephanie, she's called. And that it's...
She's not a pretty girl by any chance, Mike. You've not been bowled over by a little pretty girl called Stephanie.
Not know what she looks like. I have not LinkedIn her. I've not Googled her.
Facebook stalking.
I've not done that, but I'm sure that will be going underway at some point now it's been mentioned.
Kenny's tapping away.
I can hear him tapping.
Circling Austin K and writing stalker next to it.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
He's loving his little names, isn't he? That's an absolute belter.
Yeah, we'll have to stick with them. But apparently she's been brought in to maximise the value of the late stage clinical trials. So they're obviously confident about it. So, I mean, that's one I was watching for a little while, and it just seems to be getting going now. And who did I talk to this week? It was it was George Roach, wasn't it, from Premier African. He's sounding quite bullish about the new things that are going on.
Oh, he's bullish, George.
He's very bullish.
George is always bullish.
We've got to see, haven't we? Though what actually happens? Yeah, sure. I think, yeah. But
he's got the single best parody account in social media. I mean, whoever runs that, he's a nine. That guy's a nine straight away. But George has been considered a bit of a one or two over the years. So let's see whether he can deliver. Look, this market is teed up for somebody like George and Prem. You know, it's been one of these habitual failures that people have been critical of and laughed and looked down the nose at. And listen, they can all have a move. They can all have a move in this market. So there's always an opportunity. And if he can show a change of direction, why not?
How about a potential 10 for tomorrow?
A 10 what?
10 out of 10. How about stock potentially for tomorrow?
Oh, mate, it's Capital Metals. It's coming back tomorrow. You're signaling now. Well, if you want to talk about shareholder registers and tightening registers, that company's coming back. It's vending into PAL, which has been suspended for a number of weeks. It's raised 2 million quid. I've participated as well as hold stock in the company. I think it's a great business. The ilmenite side of the business versus one of the only peer-to-peer comparisons is very, very cheap. The grade is higher. A friend of mine and mutual person of interest has run the rule over it and says he thinks that the resource is worth $685 million. He's used the calculations that were within the prospectus, but that number doesn't exist yet. I think it's right. I think it's the right market for Capital Metals. And the free float, again, is going to be, there's going to be guys that are locked in. It's the board, it's the major shareholders, and because the fundraise was oversubscribed, I've heard on the grapevine that people have been bidding cheaper stock from that company, to try and get some, to see if there's any sellers over there in Australia before it gets to market. And so far, there's been no interest. So
yeah.
it could be an absolute belter, if I'm honest. It really could.
It's got a sort of helium one feel to it. There was no wants or significance at all with helium one, and it went. And it went from, 2.83 pence. I think it peaked about 9, and it's sort of hovering about 7 or 8 at the moment. But it's got that kind of feel. I've taken part in the placing as well. I hold my hands up, so I'm obviously interested to see when the Eagle lands tomorrow morning what the reaction is. But as you say, Doc, a lot of these guys are locked in, so it could. There could be all that money sloshing about. It's a new project, new company name, a lot of enthusiasm. I'm sure it'll be the market darling tomorrow on Twitter. It could be a perfect storm waiting to.
Some of these things can take a few days. Sometimes you find that we can't trade shares on certain exchanges. Certain brokers haven't got them listed. We can't get access to these things, and that's fine. I prepare myself for that, but. I think 1.5 million at least of the 2 million that's coming to market is supporting this to see much bigger returns. I spoke to somebody who dealt with the company historically a couple of years ago. They tried to get this business to market, and I think there was some civil unrest in Sri Lanka, which is ultimately where the asset is, the core asset. And I think there's some civil unrest, and it failed due diligence, I think, at that point, or there was some questions over putting it to market at that point, and now it's all of that's been ironed out, and whatever those issues that existed have gone. And when I spoke to the guy, he says, I remember looking at this, what's it coming in at, 40-50 million. I told him it was sub 20, more like 16-17 million quid, and he sort of said straight away, I'm a buyer of them. I think that's really cheap. I had some dealings with the guys that would be. We're looking at doing a deal with the company historically. They sent geos out to site and were very happy with what they saw. And he's a buyer. He wasn't aware it was coming to market. So it seems to be under the radar. I think it'll catch a few by surprise. Let's see what the strength of that book look like. But if there's very low free float with a tight shareholder register, that's a recipe to see things go up and fast. But the testament of time will demonstrate whether we're lunatics and wrong, or now to pick a gun.
Yeah. Just when you're talking about shareholders locked in, tight register, there's another one I've taken a position in, which is completely off the radar. I've been tweeting out about it. I'm not even getting a like or a retweet. And it's I didn't even know it existed. And I know we had an offline conversation.
Lexington Gold.
Yeah, we had an offline conversation about it. And
Richland Resources. So anybody who remembers Richland Resources will... we'll find that Lexington is the same company, isn't it, Kenny?
Yeah, but it seems a totally different beast now, so it does.
Always renowned to go up like 300-400% and then come crashing down just as quick. I don't know what it is about the way that company used to be set up, but it seemed to do nothing. It flatlined for months on end, and then bosh. And it wouldn't just be a little spike, it'd be a monster move over a good few sessions as well. It's always been one of those stocks that fascinated me, Richland. But yeah, I know there's been a lot of changes, and we can't judge it today based on previous behaviour. No. But you know what? You just hope that it's not lost that bit of flair, because it was the great one.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, it's a gold belt I never heard of. It's called the Carolina Super Terrain, which was a new one in me, but I've done, as you know, I'm quite a nosy bugger, and I've done a bit of research on it, and apparently before California came along, it was the biggest gold producing area in the whole of the USA. So they've got 4 project interests in there, and they've got quite a lot of historical drilling, and some of them are quite meaty intersections. I mean, I'm just having a quick scan because I can't remember. There's 100, it's low grade. Oh, but I mean, you've still got 104 at 1.3 grams. Try to see. You've got, there's another couple of meaty ones as well. Oh, I can't find them. Typical. 54 at 1.56, 20 meters at 3 grams, 34 meters at one, you know, 41 meters at 1.36. So there's something there. They're cashed up. They've got about 3 million quid plus in the bank. They're doing VTEM surveys just now, and the diamond drill was about to hit the ground anytime soon. And the market cap's only about 9 million quid. But nobody seems to give a toss about it, which is perfect, because I went and grabbed about a million shares, and I'll just sit and see what unfolds. And if it goes in one of these bonkers runs that you're talking about, I'll just take a good load of them off the table and just keep a wee legacy holding and see what develops over the next 12 months.
It's the way to go. The market's ready for these things. I mean, if the market stays, you know, buoyant, as we're seeing, there's going to be, you know, I saw a Riddler call out Rockhopper the other day. I mean, great call. I was looking at it myself. I was a bit browned off. And it started to have the move from the high fives, low sixes. It's 8.5 today. There's always 1,000 arguments why you shouldn't buy them. But there's also a bit of one thing you can't buy is time and experience in markets. And that guy's been kicking about a long time. And even with a company like Rockhopper, you can see the value in it. And, you know, it's a company that has had a big exploration campaign. They've found a huge amount of resource there. And, you know, even though funding the South Atlantic and that sea line project, it's going to come at some point and it'll happen. It's been years and years sitting doing nothing. But as the market stays buoyant, it's going to start to look at things that other people aren't looking at. And whether it be Lexington, you know, whether it be that company, people are going to start spreading their wings and looking for other things. It's always the case, if you remember from, as Mark said earlier, about the COVID boom. There was one or two companies, then a couple more followed, and people were still trying to find reasons to buy into ventilator companies and just anything. They were speculating. Some things didn't work. Other things had a massive run. And that's what you'll see. And if somebody stumbles across Lexington and says, well, you know what? It's not had a massive move. It's got plenty of cash and interesting assets. That's it. You're off to the races, mate. That's how this market works. So yeah. Buoyancy is key. What I would say is if gold tanked and people started to shit themselves, then you probably wouldn't want to look at some of these companies, because they're gonna test your will and resolve. But look, all good for the time being, and a sensible approach as well.
I love a challenge, you know me. If it was simple, it'd be boring. We wouldn't be having these podcasts. If it was easy and it was like getting out of bed to make money, you wouldn't enjoy it. So
I look at things like Contango, and I say, well. You know, we picked that up early on. It had a big move from 5 to 10p. It's back at 7.5p now. It is the wrong price. It went to 8-9p based on speculation. The company then come out and said that had a 460% increase in its gold asset, having sent over a technical guy who was going to write a report on that gold asset to JORC or JORC compliance standards, something similar. And Bosch, they chuck out that massive increase, and that's early results being yielded from just getting the technical team on the ground, and the shares go to 10-11p, and then we're now at 7.5, and it's like, how does that work? We were at 8p based on what we thought we had. You've now got a 460% increase and the price is lower. It's madness, but it's the clever punters who are sitting out there watching these things saying, I remember that going to 9p when it didn't have the 460, and when there wasn't a massive increase in the price of coke and coal, and now we're closer to the coke and coal sampling being done in Zimbabwe, and we know that there's been a big increase there. It's mad, isn't it, how markets really do kind of work a lot on sentiment and momentum and just, you know, whatever the flavour of the month is, but it's the shrewd guys that are looking for those Destiny Farmers and the Lexingtons and, you know, things like that. I like it. I like Contango. I think it's cheap.
Yeah. Cool. We could go on all night, so we could.
We could.
but I mean, that's probably an hour already.
Yeah. It is. My dinner's nearly ready, so...
Okay.
Well, mine's in the dog, so we'll turn it in. We'll catch up next time. And thanks. You know, appreciate it, guys. It's been entertaining as ever.
Thank you, Doc. Thank you, as always.
Yes. Goodbye, Benji. Goodbye, Austin. It's been great knowing you.
What were you, Kenny?
I was Rusty Patterson.
Goodbye, Rusty, then.
Yeah. Hey, have a good
Rusty.
Night.
Little Rusty. See you later.
See you later. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to another podcast from Market Musings with Fairbairn and Russell. Tune in next time.